Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Recently, I've been enjoying making videos with a bunch of different stories inside of them. From aliens, to ghosts, to park rangers, to stalkers, and everything in between. I uploaded one the other day and you guys seemed to really enjoy it, so I figured I'd do another one. Joining me today is my good friend Darkness Prevails. If you're unaware of who he is, I would highly suggest you check out his channel. He uploads a lot of good stuff on cryptids, the paranormal, and everything in between. Be sure to do so by checking out the link in the top of the description. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampedweather.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, let's get into these creepy stories that'll freak you out tonight.
This happened when I was in college, 4 years ago. I went to a university that was very close to an ocean on the East Coast. I made friends with some people on the weekend, and one guy in the group of people I met invited us to go out on his boat with him. He described his boat to a bunch of people, and was very proud to have it. It sounded like an expensive sailboat by the way he described it. Not really familiar with boats, and hadn't ever really been on one other than a cruise ship when I was like 11. This guy said his parents bought one for him, and that made sense because he was known to be a spoiled kid. He was nice enough though, and the idea of cruising around some Saturday afternoon and drinking some beers sounded appealing. After that conversation, I saw him around in school, but didn't really talk to him much, until one day he approached me in the library and asked if I still wanted to go sailing. I said sure, that sounded awesome, and he told me the following day he was going out on the water, and it would be a perfect opportunity for me to join him. After a lengthy conversation about how sailing works, and him assuring me it was safe and he had all the proper training, I told him I'd meet him at the docks the next morning. That night, my roommate asked me what I was doing for the weekend, and I told him that I made plans to go out sailing. He freaked out on me and told me he really wished he could go, and that I was sure that the other guy would be cool with it. The next morning, my roommate and I grabbed some coffee and grabbed some beer to bring along with us on our voyage. We ate some breakfast, and then we headed over to the docks to meet the guy. We were pretty excited, and when we got there, we followed the direction he gave me and found his boat. It was a huge orange and white sailboat. We stood on the dock next to the boat looking at it, when the guy popped his head up from somewhere and immediately showed a look of concern on his face. He jumped off the side of the boat onto the dock next to us. He looked at my roommate and then myself and asked, "Who is this?" I told him he was my roommate, he was cool, and that he had asked if he could come along. I told him I didn't think he would mind. The guy looked very annoyed, and it was awkward as hell for a few moments. The guy kept looking back and forth at the boat and then us. He took his hat off and rubbed his head like he was really stressed out. Eventually he sighed and said it was fine. I'll fast forward now to the part of the story that was scary as hell. A few hours later, we were on the boat, drinking and having fun. The water was pretty smooth sailing, and the sun was shining bright on us. The guy acted a bit off the whole time, and I figured it was because I brought my roommate. After drinking 3 or 4 beers, I felt the courage to ask the guy what was wrong, and if he was still pissed I brought my roommate. He responded with something along the lines of, "It just kind of ruined my plans." My roommate chimed in, with a smile on his face, and asked the guy, What plans? I could tell my roommate thought it was funny because it sounded like the guy wanted to be alone with me. The guy looked at him and said, "Well, because you're here, I can't kill him." This took me off guard completely, and I felt fear and unbelievable relief hit me at the same time. My roommate and this guy started cracking up, and my roommate brushed it off as a joke. I honestly didn't know what to think. Was this guy serious? Did I avoid being killed by this asshole? Is his sense of humor just that weird? I believe I got my answer when I went below the deck an hour later to grab another beer from the fridge. Next to his fridge was a brown swinging door that led to a small private bedroom quarters. I was feeling the beer pretty good by this point, and without thinking, pushed the door open. Laying on the foot of the bed was a big-ass cinder block, some yellow rope, tape, and what looked like a recorder of some sort. After seeing that, I felt sick to my stomach and wanted off that boat as soon as possible. I wanted to go back up and confront the guy, but decided against it because of what he might have been on, you know, who knows what he was capable of. Could be on some serious drugs or even worse. What seemed like hours and hours more of being with this guy, we finally made it back to the dock. We said our goodbyes, and on the way back to my room, I told my roommate about what I had seen. He couldn't believe it. I'm pretty damn sure that my roommate saved my life that day by wanting to go with me. And I kid you not, I never saw that guy again on campus. What he had planned, I don't know. And I really don't want to think about it.
My brother is a mortician at a facility in New York. And one night when I was visiting, he asked if I wanted to go to work with him, so I wouldn't be alone in his house. I reluctantly said yes. What's the worst that can happen, right? Boy, was I wrong. To start off with, this place was creepy as hell. Dark and smelled funny. He said it was normal, and it was probably the smell of the formaldehyde. So I just ignored it. After a little time of chit-chatting and catching up, he told me that he needed to get to work, but that I could stay in the little adjoined office and watch some TV, and so that's exactly what I did for a little bit. The entrance to the morgue had swinging doors and you could hear when someone was coming in or out of them. He came to check on me a few times, so I heard them. After a few hours of being by myself, I started to doze off, when the sudden sound of the doors woke me up. Expecting for my brother to walk in and greet me, there was nothing. Again, I started to fall asleep, and yet again, the loud doors went off. You couldn't tell if someone was coming in or out, but they kept on swinging and didn't stop. Thinking my brother was playing a joke on me, I got up and went to tell him to stop, but to my surprise, there was only a little girl standing there, playing by the doors, pushing them. "Hi," I told her. She looked at me and didn't say a word. One of the things that caught my eye was a pretty blue dress with a pink ribbon that she was wearing. "Your dress is pretty, and the bow makes it stand out." Again, no reply. She looked down and started to run the opposite way, towards a lonesome hall. I thought the kid belonged to another employee, so I went back to my chair and sat down. A couple of hours later, when my brother's shift was over, he finally woke me up to go back to his place. As we were driving, I started to tell him about the doors and the little girl with the cute blue dress and big pink ribbon. He slammed the brakes. "What the hell? Why did you break?" "Tessa," he told me with a chilling look on his face. "Last night I did an autopsy on a little girl that drowned. She was wearing a blue dress with a big pink ribbon." My blood ran cold, and I've never been to work with my brother, ever again.
I've been listening for a couple of months. I've essentially heard every piece of content you have to offer at this point. Many of the stories made me ponder on my past. I grew up in a very rural area. Without saying it, I live in the middle of the United States. I have lived quite a few places, and at this specific piece of property, I had run-ins with crazy humans, odd sleep paralysis, and lucid dreams, even potential extraterrestrial happenings. Depending on how this goes over, I'll tell more, but here it goes. One cold winter morning, I woke up ready to go explore our acreage. My folks were out of the state, showing livestock, so it was me and my younger brother. Our nearest living neighbor was about 15 miles away. Adjacent to our property ran a fence for miles that enclosed these behemoths. At the front of the neighboring property, there was a large red barn, and a 10-plus foot tall gate, locked with large chains and a padlock. My younger brother, who we'll call Sam, and I went to patrol the fence and make sure everything was okay, as we did every day. As soon as I opened the garage door, trusty little 22 on my shoulder, ready to go, I froze in fear, staring down a longhorn calf. Now, when I say calf, I mean this thing was eye level with me, being a 6'3" tall, gangly teenager. I call it a calf because it didn't have the enormous horns. I immediately pushed Sam behind me and slowly walked back until I could close the garage. I called my dad and the farmer, who called the police. My dad told me to leave Sam inside and check the front gate. I hopped on my rickety three-wheeler and rode about a half mile to the front gate. Lying right in front was a fully grown longhorn steer on its side, deceased, with its stomach cut open from throat to back. It looked like it had been dropped, its left horn embedded in the soil, as if it had slowly been set down. Now we had our fair share of poachers out there. I'd been chased by one, a story for another time. The oddest part was the fence was completely closed and chained, as it was the day before when I had checked. There was no meat taken, nor any blood on the ground. The rancher and police showed up shortly after and deemed it likely poaching. Later that day, once everything settled down, I snuck through the electric fence into the area the longhorns had been grazing when I went to bed the previous night. The tall reed-like grass was pushed down in opposite directions, not in any specific pattern, but I remember recalling it odd. I began to exit the farmer's land through a small stream I liked to hunt, and found a coyote dead and dissected in the same way. There was no blood, and no sign of animals eating on it. Let me know what you guys think it was. I'm not sold on aliens, but I'm open to ideas.
I spent the night at my girlfriend's house one night and had to leave really early in the morning to go to work. So early, it was still dark outside when I left, and would be for a few more hours. She lived in a rural town about 60 miles from my house and work. And when I got in my car and started driving, there weren't the usual street lights lining the roads to guide me. The only light that came was from my headlights. About 10 miles into my drive, my car started to slow down and eventually came to a stop. I first checked my gas and it was almost full. I'm not a very car trouble savvy guy, so I dug my phone out of my pocket and swiped the screen open, and nothing happened. I realized that my phone was dead, just my luck, and immediately after that, I came to the realization that I had forgotten to plug it in last night before we went to sleep. So here I was, stuck in my car on the side of a rural street, pretty much in the middle of nowhere. I started to think of things to do. I could start walking. No, that's a horrible idea. It was dark as hell out there, and I wouldn't be able to see anything while walking. And on top of that, somebody could hit me. I concluded that the only thing I could do was sit in my car and wait for daylight, which is a very stressful and scary thing to have to come to terms with. It was winter, and I started getting cold. I tried starting my car over and over to no avail. I gave up and crossed my arms. I sat in the dark car on the dark street for about 10 minutes just looking into the darkness in front of me, before I squinted my eyes and noticed somebody walking towards my car, directly in front of me. They were about 30 yards away. The only thing I could see was the outline of their body. They stopped right after I noticed them, I got really scared and just gazed at his outline for the longest time. In a sudden movement, they started walking again, but fast. In a few seconds, they reached my driver's side door and tried to open it. Did they think the car was empty? Holy hell, did they see me in here? I leaned away from the car door and window, and onto the center console. After failing to open my locked door, they stood there for a moment, and then very suddenly turned and walked away in the direction they came from. I was so confused and creeped out by this. Why would they walk back the way they came? I don't get it. I sat there in the dark, wondering what was happening, when all of a sudden, I saw two headlights come out in front of me. The car was parked on the same side of the road as mine, but facing me. Had the person stopped when they saw my car? What would they do next? How did I not see them stop there? After a few moments, they started their engine and turned their car around, driving off down the road. A few hours later, the sun was rising, and a truck stopped next to me to ask if I was having trouble. I asked to use their cell phone, and with it, I called my girlfriend, who picked me up soon after.
This story is about my brother Alec. The story begins in Ohio with Alec, who is 3, and Abigail, who is 6. They were there with my mother Olivia. They were visiting Olivia's brother Elliot in a small town in Ohio. We went to church with Elliot and some family members. As we were coming home from church, Elliot saw something in the sky. The three of us were in the back seat playing and talking to each other. As we were going down this country road, Elliot saw there was no one following him, so he decided to stop and get out of the car for a closer look at the object in the sky. The three of us stopped playing and were now watching what the adults were doing. Elliot pulled over and got out. Then Olivia, who was sitting at the other door, got out. Then suddenly Elliot hollered at Olivia, telling her to get back in the car because he was going to get home as fast as possible to call the police. She quickly listened and said, "Elliot, what are the police going to do?" He replied, "I don't know. Call the military? It looks like we're under attack." Elliot's wife, Isabel, said, "They don't seem hostile." The three of us were looking out the window, and all we could see were stars. We arrived home, and Elliot went to the phone. The object was over the house. Elliot told Isabel to hide us kids, to which she replied, "But where?" "In the closets," Elliot said. Elliot got on the phone with the operator. They quickly answered and said, "Operator 9, how can I help you?" Elliot replied, "I need the police." He was put on hold for a moment. Still on the line, he went over to the window and looked outside. Soon the operator came back and said, "I'm sorry, sir, but the police line is busy. Would you like to hold?" Elliot quickly said, "Yes, please." About 10 minutes went by, and finally the police were on the line. "Police, what's your emergency?" Elliot said, "Thank God. There's this huge aircraft above the house. It's a triangle shape, and there's lights all underneath it." But oddly, what the police said back was, "If it's above your house, sir, there's nothing we can do. We can get someone to eventually come out from the military to make a report." When Elliot pressed the police officer on the other end, the police explained, "Sir, you're the 5th caller about this. I'm sorry, I have to hang up now." He quickly looked back up at Isabel and asked if the kids were in the closets now. She said yes, but said that she believes if that thing lands, then we're all going to perish. Olivia agreed. Elliot went outside, and the two women followed. Apparently, despite the size of the aircraft and its close proximity, it was completely silent, just sitting in the sky, as if it wasn't there at all. Eventually, a police officer actually did show up, which was unexpected. Elliot quickly met him and asked what he thought that thing was, to which the policeman replied he didn't know, that he'd never seen anything like it. After a lot of time had passed, the kids were able to come outside and begin to play. Soon we stopped and watched the policeman and Elliot talk. Then without any warning, the craft above us suddenly took off. The speed at which it moved was impossible, and it left no trace in the sky or below. "Did you see that?" Elliot said to the policeman. "What in the world?" the policeman muttered. "What do you have to say about that?" Elliot asked. I don't know. I don't know how to report this, the policeman responded. Then he left. Elliot shooed the kids inside and had them ready for bed, while Isabel and Olivia were dumbfounded. That's it? Isabel wondered. After the kids were in bed, they turned on the TV to see if anything would be shown. The news did report this, talking about a strange object that had been seen in the sky. Over 1,000 people ended up reporting it. The Air Force had been called, but they hadn't responded at that time. Soon they all went to bed, confused and hoping the thing wouldn't come back. We assumed that that was the end of it, though. One bizarre, unexplainable sighting for a lifetime. But something happened in 1979, particularly to me. I was lying in my bed. I was having trouble sleeping, tossing and turning. At one point, I turned over on my back and opened my eyes, and there I saw at the foot of my bed a creature that you would now call a gray. It didn't have a mouth, but I heard it somehow speaking to me, and I remember word for word what I heard it saying. "Tonight, you perish, and you go to hell." I screamed for Albert, my sister's father-in-law, to bring something to protect me from the man in my bedroom. I ran to the front door, trying to get away from the monster. When I turned back toward my bed, ready for the worst to happen, ready for it to pounce on me or something, I saw that I was alone in my room. 8 years after my incident, my brother Alec had his encounter. He was 23 at the time, and he was living in a cabin in the hills of West Virginia. One night he was getting ready to smoke. The night was the same as any other. The crickets were chirping peacefully, and he had a coal fire going in the cabin. It was a pretty cold night after all. Then suddenly, all the noises went silent. Alex said he had been so involved with what he was doing that he didn't pay attention. Then out of nowhere, the cabin lit up. The light showed every crack in the walls that were open. Alex thought it was the police. He took his stash and pried up a board on the floor of the cabin. He put all his stuff there and closed the board again. Then he walked to the door and kept waiting for the police to knock. But Alec never heard it. As he was opening the door, the light was so bright outside, it hurt his eyes. He shouted, "Who's there?" But no answer came. Alec closed the door and hid under his bed. The next thing he knew, he was awake in bed, and he didn't know how he got there. The coal fire was out too, even though he said he had enough coal in there to last for 2 days. But the fire was out, and the coal had all burned up, and his memory was blank. Alec moved out of the cabin and never went back. About 15 years later, I was in the Bahamas with my daughter and her friends. One night, my boyfriend and I went out to dinner, and the four young adults stayed in the boat. When we came back to the boat, my daughter told me that the four of them were sitting on the front of it when some sort of object came over the boat and hovered there. She said the last thing she remembered before blacking out was looking up at it. The next thing they knew, they woke up in the cabin. No idea how they got there. I'm beginning to believe that aliens work with families that they have encountered. They stick with generations of families, haunting them, following them, and probably even abducting them. A few of us in the family believe that, but we keep it to ourselves, as we don't want people thinking we're crazy.
My name is Tyler, and I wanted to share my haunting experience with you. I've had many different paranormal events happen to me, but this one definitely stands out among them. I've always had a sort of hyper-awareness of other worlds being layered with our own, for lack of a better term. Because of this sight, as I call it, I've been troubled with insomnia most of my life. This happened back when I was about 17. My girlfriend and I had just moved into a small house together. We were in bed one night, and I let my mental guard down as I was finally beginning to drift off to sleep.
I was in that moment where you're somehow both asleep and awake at once. Those who have experience with sleep paralysis know this feeling very well. I was just about to close my eyes when I felt something step into the doorway of the bedroom. I was too far gone to be able to look up and see what it was, but I could sense it vividly. It was a male, or masculine being. Its essence was full of intensity and pure malice. It struck me with a deep, primal fear as I realized what was happening. I knew that this entity meant me harm, that it was not human. I also knew it wasn't a dream. This was real. I felt the negative energy radiating from it as it seemed to float across my room, stopping near the foot of my bed. Still unable to move, questions raced through my mind. Who are you? What do you want with me? It stood there, suspended in time and space, staring at me in absolute silence. On my tongue and in my nostrils, I could taste the evil and smell the hatred coming from this being. I don't know how else to explain this experience. It slowly moved in my field of vision, but I could still barely make out a single feature of its form. As if it was enveloped in darkness, it simply peered over me with violent intent. Everything about the situation screamed, "This thing wants to kill me," but I somehow knew it could not. It was really just there to make me feel this unbelievable level of fear. It raised a part of itself which looked like an arm, before slamming it down into my gut, striking so hard it took the wind out of my lungs. The pain and shock of the attack snapped me out of my paralysis, and I jumped up as quickly as I could. I was out of my mind with terror, and reached out to my girlfriend to wake her. I yelled her name and even shook her, but she just wouldn't wake up. I felt like I was somehow out of a phase with her reality, and she couldn't hear me. I struggled to wake her for what seemed like forever. I eventually collapsed in exhaustion and fell asleep. When I awoke in the morning, I had bruises on my stomach and face, and my girlfriend wouldn't believe a word I said. That's where my story ends. Just one of my many, many experiences with things I struggle to reconcile with reality as I know it. Please let me know what you think about this.
Hello, you can call me E. I've worked with the park rangers for about 10 years before moving out of state and into a different profession. I don't know that my story is necessarily scary, but it is strange. I won't specify where I was working at the time, other than to say that I worked in the Midwest when this all happened. I will say I really enjoyed my years as a park ranger. They were wonderful, and in this case, a bit strange. The oddity began when I was doing my morning patrol and found what looked to be a painted angel on a tree. Now, it was oddly well detailed. If this had been painted on a canvas, not on one of our beautiful trees, I wouldn't have minded. But because it was one of our trees, though, I had to take some photos and write up a report to give to my supervisor. I scoured the area and found no sign of paint or anything. Figuring it was either an artist or some sort of vandalism, I filed my report and went about my day. 5 hours go by when we're approached at the station by someone freaking out. They explained that they found a jogger lying dead next to a tree with an angel. I wasn't freaked out by this, but I did find it strange. I followed the woman to find it was the very same tree. We had the paramedics arrive soon after, and it was later on that I discovered the elderly man had died of a heart attack. Alright, that's weird, but I believe in coincidence, and so I just figured it was one of those odd but unfortunate things that sometimes happens in life. A couple of months go by, and I've forgotten all about the older man and the painted angel. Once again, while wandering our parks, I noticed yet another painted angel. This one was not on a tree, though. It was on a bench. It wasn't large or anything, unlike the first one. This was a smaller angel. I was a little thrown, but my mind being the way it is, decided it was probably some person who was inspired in some weird way by the art and saw the story in the paper. The next day, a young woman was found lying at the bench. We thought she might have been sleeping, but upon attempting to wake her up, she was found to be dead. The reason for this was quite explainable, though. She was shooting up heroin and had come here overnight to do so. The final cause of this woman's passing was an overdose, but they didn't think it was a suicide. I mention this because she was sitting on the angel painted on the bench at the time of her death. The thought was initially the woman painted it, then committed some weird ritualistic suicide of some kind. This was ruled out when the cause of death was reported later on. Police and, well, to be honest, we rangers were completely perplexed as to how this was happening, or why. Who was painting these angels? And why at every place one was painted, would someone die? It created a bit of conversation, but as a year passed without any other deaths or incidents, people kind of just let it go, myself included. It was around Christmas of the following year that the strangest one happened. This one didn't actually happen in the park I worked at the time, but at a church in the town that I worked in. Another angel had appeared. It was painted in red, as always, on the back of the church itself. Knowing how the previous incidents occurred, people grew naturally curious. The angel that was painted was much larger than the others, and above the head and wings were the words, "May they know peace." This was the first time a message had appeared with an angel, and every attempt to remove the angel was futile. No matter what was used, it remained there. Having given up, with nothing happening over a couple of weeks, people pretty much thought this one was a prank, and the others were a coincidence. That was until one Sunday, when the church was having a service and a big lunch that afternoon. During the prayer and worship service, some of the members were prepping the food and the stoves. The stoves were gas, and upon ignition, a leak would cause an explosion that killed everyone inside instantly and burned the church to the ground. After this, we never saw another painted angel or any other kind of strange symbols around town. This was the final one, and all three had predicted death or deaths of some kind. I'm not sure how to explain that rationally, but it was such a strange sequence of events that I felt the need to share it. Who was painting the angels? Did they know these souls would die? Was it a warning? Or was it simply a strange pre-memorial? Well, I'm sure we'll never know.
In July of 2018, my family and I went to my aunt and uncle's house in Maryland. They go on vacation for a weekend, and they let us stay at their house. They live like 10 minutes away from Baltimore, so we usually go there for a day and go back to the house later. Everything was fine until the third night. When we got back to the house, my dad and brother went upstairs because they were tired. My mom and I went into my uncle's office to go on his computer to see what we could do the next day. We heard some strange noises. My mom just assumed they were house noises, but the noises seemed a bit heavy to be house noises. My mom went to the bathroom and I sat at the computer looking at attractions when I heard my uncle's dog growling from the living room. She only growls or barks when she sees someone she doesn't recognize,
so I got a little scared.
My mom came out of the bathroom, and I told her the dog is growling at something. She went to the living room to check on the dog, and everything seemed normal except for one thing. The lamp was on, but the thing about that was, is I remember seeing it unplugged entirely. The lamp is also in the corner behind the giant couch, and the cord has a switch on it to turn it on or off, but the switch was closer to the floor. It would take a lot of effort to plug it in and turn it on. She assumed it was me and turned it off, but I kept telling her I didn't turn it on at all. I decided to go to bed, which I kind of regret doing. I fell asleep pretty fast, but I woke up at 3 in the morning to a strange sound. I just kept hearing a squeaky mattress noise over and over again. I knew it wasn't my parents because I heard my dad snoring. I knew my brother wasn't making that noise because I heard him snoring as well. All of our bedroom doors were open, so it was pretty easy to hear, but I was the only one hearing it. I started hearing the dog growling viciously from the living room. I was covered in my sweat, and my fear was rising. I then heard footsteps coming from the attic right above my room. I was wide awake at that point, and was gonna wake up my parents, but since I was so scared, I didn't want to move. Eventually, all the noises stopped, but the dog was still viciously growling at something or even someone. She stopped growling after about 5 minutes. Everything was seemingly fine after that, but I had no interest in falling back asleep, and didn't get out of bed until I saw my brother get out of bed at sunrise. I asked him if he heard anything at all at 3 in the morning, but he said no. I also asked my parents if they heard anything, and they also said no. My mind was blown, and I thought I was going crazy. For the rest of the week, everything was fine, and that dog kept growling at something every once in a while. I kind of wish I got up out of bed to see what was squeaking, but I was also way too scared. I also wish I got up to see what the dog was growling at, but no way in hell was I going to go up into that attic. I don't know if I was just hallucinating, witnessing paranormal activity, or what, but I definitely don't know, and it definitely was not a dream.
Thanks for watching these creepy and downright disturbing stories. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a lot. If you're new to the swamp, why not subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, in all things natural and supernatural. If you're on the go and you want to bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you, you can download them on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find podcasts. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this without you guys, and I really do appreciate it. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.